Hello and welcome to the Underwater Sunshine Podcast. I am your host, Adam Duritz. He is your other host.
James Campion, how are you?
I am pretty good. We're going to get this started right off today with one of my favorite songs of all time. It is not the song everyone thinks of from this record, but I'm so excited to announce this, and we'll come back to this a little later in the show, but Cyndi Lauper is playing the Underwater Sunshine Festival. She's been a friend of mine for a long, long, long time, and I don't know, we were sitting around Christmas or Thanksgiving, actually, and they walked in the house and said, Cyndi just sent us a message, a couple of friends of mine walked in the house. Cyndi sent us a message, she wants to play the festival next time. And I was like, what? And they said, yeah, we were just at dinner, and we were talking about how great it was last time, and she says she wants to play it in April. And I was just, fuck!
You know what's funny? I was at the October one. Our very first one, I was at the bar with her husband, who's also friends of yours.
Yes, that's how she got the whole story, because he was there with them at that dinner. They had to go before everyone else came over here on Thanksgiving, but they were all at dinner together talking, and David and Greg were all going on about...
She needs to play this. I remember him saying she needs to play this.
Her husband, David, is David Thornton, the actor, who he plays the father of Rachel McAdams in The Notebook. He's been in a million movies.
Yes.
But he's a great guy.
He is.
Greg came in the door and said, Cyndi wants to play it in April, and I was so thrilled. And, you know, she's not going to play a full set. She's just going to make a special appearance with one of the other bands, and she's going to play a few songs with them. But it's going to be really, really cool. I don't know if she'll play this song, because it's not, like I said, it's not really one of the famous songs.
but we love it. I love this song. Me too.
I love this song so much. It's one of my favorite songs anyone's ever recorded. I'm going to play it for you right now. It's my favorite song I've heard. This is Cyndi Lauper from her first album, 1983's She's So Unusual. This is Money Changes Everything.
Yeah.
I found someone new. He's waiting in the car outside.
I love that vocal so much. I love how she just digs into it. It's I don't know who the background is on that one. I know Jules Shear sang a bunch of backups on this record. Maybe those guys from the Hooters did too.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the Hooters probably did. Yeah, I mean, that's a Hooter on the song. We were noticing it immediately when it comes in for the solo. That's one of those songs that absolutely the vocals take it to another complete level. It's a perfect idea. She does a ton of songs by other writers, mainly male writers in here. A lot of them from
that was
Philly.
By the guy from that band, The Brains. That was the only like little mini hit they had was that song.
But. Right. And then, of course, I mentioned it while this was playing. Robert Hazard wrote Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And then the Hooter guy that you mentioned there wrote Time After Time.
And this, of course, When You're Mine when on you this were record mine from on Dirty Mind, record. Which is great.
Very good.
She Bop, which is her song with a bunch of guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And All Through the Night, which is Jules Shear from Jules Shear and the Polar Bears.
That's right.
One of my favorite songwriters. And one of the guys I first met like early in my career because – when we first decided to do the first record with T-Bone, he was on a tour right then of a bunch of singer-songwriters. They would sit around and tell stories. There were four or five or six of them. It was him, James McMurtry, Marshall Crenshaw, Jules Shear. Oh, there was one or two. Don Dixon.
Oh, yeah, Don, sure.
I can't remember who the others were. But there was like five or six of them, and they were touring around talking about songwriting and playing songs, like sitting on stage in a circle. I can't remember what it was called. The tour. They did it a few times with different people, but Jules was there, and it's really interesting the way he plays. He plays only bar chords, but he plays them with his thumb coming down over the top of a guitar.
Oh, yes.
So he's got it tuned in an open tuning so he can play bar chords, and he plays by pressing all the
like
bars
Richie
with his
Havens.
Thumb.
Richie Havens.
Richie Havens does that too, yeah. It's a bizarre
it is.
Way to play.
Yeah, I always try to learn Freedom, which is opens up the Woodstock movie and opened up Woodstock, the famous story about Richie Havens having to get thrown out on stage. He wasn't supposed to open it, but people were late and it was terrible and they were like, get out there. And it opens that film beautifully. You and I are not huge fans of that film, but that is a great performance. And every time I see that, I think, I want to play Freedom, but you can't. There's no way you can play that unless you open the tuning and you jam your thumb over it. There's no way to actually reform. It's a very unique way of playing. It's kind of like Lindsey Buckingham's style of playing with his fingers that we've talked about on this podcast. Very unique. But getting back to the Cyndi Lauper vocal on that, that song is perfectly fine song. I like it. Structured. I'm with you. It's one of my favorite songs of hers. One of my favorite songs on an album that's chock full, as we just mentioned, of great songs.
The first six songs on this album. There's amazing. 10 songs on the record. The first six, all huge hit singles.
Big hit singles. But it's an okay dun, dun, dun. It's a mid-tempo song. It's going along nicely. It's got a wall of keyboards in there. But she is just singing and emoting her ass off. She's throwing in all the great Cyndi stuff. The yips and perps and screams and that long note she holds at the end of it. And then on the fade, when she's like, money, money, then she starts screaming, which they did a great job, MTV, or I assume Chrysalis. That was on Chrysalis, right, this record?
I think so.
They released a live version of this as the promotional video for it that MTV played ad nauseum when it came out. And it's a wonderful – check it out if you have a minute when you're done with this podcast. It's probably on YouTube of her singing her ass off on that and just – pushing that part that it's just in the fade as a main part of her singing that song. But it was a showstopper for that first tour, and it's a great song, truly.
Yeah, she's just magnificent. I remember at the time, because that year, 1983, there were two of the biggest albums ever, both, you know, just put two of the biggest female stars ever came out that year, because Madonna's record came out in the summertime, and then in the fall Cyndi's record came out, and you know, they were both, those were both great records. The first Madonna album, which has like Holiday, that's a great record. It's her and Jellybean Benitez.
But Jellybean Benitez is one of the most influential records of the 1980s by far. And then Madonna comes in bang in 1984 with like a Virgin.
Yeah. Although I didn't like that as much. I loved the She's So Unusual and
The first
Madonna record. I was like, these are great. I like Cyndi Lauper a little bit more.
Me
too. Of lost me a little bit on Like a Virgin, though. I mean, I appreciate
even
it now.
Even the Nile Rodgers production on that? That's Nile Rodgers producing that record,
isn't it? Yeah, I just didn't like the songs as much. And I they didn't have the melodies, and I don't know. Maybe I just got tired of it on MTV, too. But I remember not loving it. Like, I loved the first Madonna
album. I do, too. It's a better record for me. I do agree.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. The songs on it. There were so many good songs on it.
That was always the battle, right? who's better? Who's going to be have the longest career? Who's going to be the best artist? You know, that was a huge thing at the time, kind of like Stones Beatle thing. They had the two of them. Obviously, Madonna went on to change popular music as we know it.
But I mean, look at this. I mean, these are the songs on the first album. Lucky Star. Right. That's a fantastic song.
Correct.
Borderline, even better. Even better. Burning Up. That's a great song. Burning I Know It. I don't remember when I know it. Holiday, fantastic song.
Yes.
Think of Me, Physical Attraction, great song. And Everybody, which is a really good song. I mean, that's it. Like the Cindy album, it has six singles or so. I mean, it's amazing. And some of those are just, there's so much less calculation. I guess part of the problem with me later with Madonna was the calculation. And she did end up being a far bigger star, I think, because she decided on a way to
she co-opted a lot of movements.
To market herself.
Yes.
In a way that was incredibly good. But everything was so serving that marketing strategy from that point on that I got kind of tired of it. Whether it was good or not, I kind of like, right. I don't get it, you know. But on the first album, it's not that. She's a singer working with a great producer, and they wrote great stuff together. And she's a big part of that writing.
And the sound on that record, again, was aped by everyone, specifically women at the time. And, you know, to me, the first Madonna record and 1999 are the two most influential records of sound of the 1980s in the sense of everybody using the Lynn drums, the keyboards that are used, the effects on her voice, that pitchy, you know, thing that she does. I mean, but Jelly Bean and Benitez and her work their ass off on that first
record. It's a lot of the sound that becomes like what the new Jack Swing was. You know, you hear it later with like Lisa and the Cult Jam.
Yes.
But also with artists like Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah,
Bobby Brown.
Yep.
New Edition to a certain extent. You know, all those guys that came out of New Edition.
Sure.
You know, there's some really great music Bobby Brown and Belle Biv DeVoe especially made after that.
Right.
That's really cool. And you hear a lot of the first place. I don't know that it's where it's invented at all. I wouldn't say that. But the first place where it really screams out into the mainstream in a big way would be on the first Madonna record. It's just so good that way.
And I must admit,
like,
it's the
very
first time,
influential.
Yeah, so that's the first time I heard that. It's the first time I heard that style of music. And then all of a sudden, bang, it's on almost all the records after that. And but getting back to She's So Unusual, a wonderful record, a great debut record, arguably one of the great debut records ever, both Madonna and Cyndi Lauper, within, as you mentioned, a year of each other, or maybe really months. And really set the tone for the 80s. And Cyndi Lauper's had some great records after that, much like Madonna. But I do agree. I think both of their debut records really overshadowed a lot of their careers.
Boy, what a year. I'm thinking of other things that came out in 83. I'm pretty sure the first Chronic Town, the first R.E.M. EP is that year. I think War by U2 is that year.
Absolutely.
I mean, wow, there's a lot of records coming out that year that are pretty amazing.
And MTV really did launch a lot of these acts into the higher register. A lot of indie acts, a lot of alternative music that we were playing on college radio that in the past would never get onto mainstream radio. But MTV back in that time was playing that. They played Radio Free Europe all the time, that strange video for that song.
Yeah, although I think that was a year later when it came out on the first record, which is what's the first R.E.M. record?
What, The Murmur?
Murmur.
Right.
I mean, the first EP. It's on the first EP, Chronic Town, and it's on the first record. But I think that EP came out in 83 or 80.
I think it's before that. I think I'm going to say late 81, early 82, because I was in college radio. You and I talked about this when we were working on the book. IRS used to send us a bunch of shit on this college radio station I work at, WMCC, out of Mercer County. And we got that, and I pulled it out of a pile of 18, 20 records, and it just jumped out. First of all, it was smaller. It was like a 10-inch. Second of all, it had that great gargoyle and that weird coloring. No picture of the band anywhere on it. What's the first EP? When did
it's August
Town?
82. So we're getting it in
right
you know,
at
school
year.
That fall.
Yep.
So it's the next year. Maybe it's
But then Murmur comes out in 83.
Maybe Murmur is what comes out in 83 then. Yeah, because I remember I was a freshman in college when it came out, which would have been fall of, oh no, what am I talking about? That's the fall of 82. Yeah, fall of 82 and then spring of 83.
Right.
That is when Chronic Town came out, because I was a freshman in college, and it was my first term in college when it came out.
Yeah, it's those right back-to-back. You're right, early 80s, always given in many ways a short shrift, but a wonderful time for pop music, rock music, funk.
New wave, a lot of stuff.
The birth of rap. But yes, so Cyndi Lauper will bring back all those memories when she plays on Friday night at the Underwater Sunshine Fest. And we're here to play some other artists, not legacy artists the way Cyndi is, That we'll also be playing that weekend. We got a few that we haven't gotten to yet. The last couple of weeks, we've been pretty much concentrating on that.
Yeah. This next band was introduced to me. I was turned on to them by my friend Louis Giannamore. And Louis is a friend of mine and the son of a friend of mine as well. And he is British. His dad is an expatriate American living over in London for like the last 30 years or so. And Louis grew up over there. But he's a spectacular musician. And when I first met him, he was just starting at Berklee. Not where I went to school, at Cal, but Berklee School of Music in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
And he was over here for a couple years studying, and he met this guy, Hugh McDonald, while they were at school together at Berklee. Hugh is also British, and they started playing together. Now, Louis came to the last Outlaw Roadshow here two or three years ago when you were here. That was Louis was in school, so he skipped school and came down here for that week and hung out during the festival. And I've always wanted to get a band of his to play here. But he played me some Fairhazel when I was in England back in January, I guess. And I flipped out. I was like, we're just listening to different music. And I was like, wait, what is this? And he said, oh, it's this guy I played with, you know, and he's really good. And I still play with him sometimes. Because at this point, Louis is dropped out of Berklee. And he's playing in like three different bands, touring all over England with different bands as the drummer. But he's also a programmer. He's just really good,
right,
talented guy. And he turned me on to Fairhazel, which is Hugh McDonald's band. God, I hope that's his name, Hugh McDonald. I'm going to look it up after this.
Okay.
And me and you listened to it, and we were like, whoa, this is really good.
Yeah.
And so we ended up asking Fairhazel to come play at the Underwater Sunshine Festival this year. And I am not sure whether Louis is going to get to play with him or not, but I really hope he is. Because Louis is still doing a bunch of tours, so it was a question of whether he was going to be open enough to come play as well. But Fairhazel is coming for sure. And I want to play you a few songs by them. This is... from their first EP, I think, or their first single. When is this recorded? This is released like a year ago. And this is called 7x7.
Love this one.
I found my home in silence, found my peace in empty roads with empty souls just looking for some peace of mind they cannot buy. Back in the busy city where the people are slaves to the hours that make up our night and day. But those who break free are cursed with the knowledge of humanity. To a dull double-edged blade.
That song has a great sound to it. I love that sound. And it's the first thing I heard by them, so it really gave me an introduction of what they're trying to do. But they're not just... You listen to that and you think, oh, I get what this band's doing. But they are, like most of the bands that we'll be featuring at the festival, they are not a one-trick pony. There's many different sounds to that record that is interesting, and it always takes you on different turns. I love this record. I really do. I love these guys.
They're really cool. I can't wait to see them. I just like that kind of music. So this is another song off that set, off the single called The Director's Daughter, which I also thought was really cool. And it kind of retains that sound with the... It's got that really rich... it's got a little bit of a reverb on the vocal. It's just got a really rich vocal sound, too. I really like that.
I love this vocal. And these are the kind of songs my wife just eats up whenever I play them, you know, because she loves it for the yoga, you know, stuff. And it just has that great feel. So you can kind of digest it as a background ambiance, but it's also something that's really great on your stereo. I mean, like I said, we had a really hard time picking out these two songs. It was really hard to do.
And just with that in mind, be careful when you listen to this. Make sure you've warmed up first. Only listen to this if you've stretched. This is Fair Hazel with The Director's Daughter. Only for the advanced class.
The director's daughter flew me out to see the Appalachian. In a robe that she wore head to toe, concealing allegations that she'd been sold to God out of fear of condemnation. And she had lost the plot after all. When I landed, she took my hand and ran me to the station. Exercise and smiles she had not felt in generations. Sat just right with me, and I bathed in the ecstasy of time, being unaware. As a simple girl, her peace resides in mild excitation, void of any jealousy or feelings of damnation. She was at one with it all, and she didn't seem to notice anything but beauty in my eyes. In the dead of night, we followed signs in search of. Through the woods that held our skin, we shared all reservations and explored each other's wound.
Something about the melody of that one that really just gets me, like, it twinges something in the back of my spine. There's something perfect about that melody that really knocks me out. It hits an emotional thing for me.
Yeah. There's a sadness to the, there's like a tinge to his voice. You know what really jumped out at me the last couple of times I listened to that song, especially here? Is the brushes on the snare are so stark and so dead compared to everything else is saturated in, yeah, like effects. It totally drives that song and kind of keeps bringing you back to its rhythms. I love it. It's the most, except for going back to those early Elvis Presley recordings, it's the most sounding like brushes on a snare drum that I've heard. It's, yeah, just like, every once in a while, it's like, wow, it just takes over the treble of the song. It's really cool how they do that.
I assume that's Louie. I don't know for sure. I really want to play one more thing because this is when I called them up and asked them to send us some music so I could talk everybody else into this, you know? he sent me some of their newer stuff. And it's different feel because they've taken some of the wash off the vocals, some of the reverb wash that gives it that sound. They've just made it a little starker that way, but they've filled out the sound of the band more. Like, it's a little more, there's some other singers and some harmony, either him or some other singers doing harmonies with it, and there's a lot more of a band sound around it, and they're playing a lot more with some sort of jazz stuff. I just want to play one of these, because I think it's a different feel for him, and it's sort of, you know, they're moving in a little bit of a different direction, or exploring some different things in any case, and I was really impressed with that. Because it can be really easy when you have a good sound to just stick with the same thing forever and not, like, explore things. And this is one more song I want to play by Fairhazel, which is one word, by the way, Fairhazel. This is from the album Stuff Hugh Sent Me When I Asked Him to Send Me Stuff, just recently recorded. This is called In the Morning.
Mr. Friend, oh, say you come round here again. Will you bring love in this direction? It's been some time since you and I have been locked tight, but it feels like a couple seconds since I spent my day regretting. left this town, all the love came pouring out.
What a great 70s vibe that song has, you know? It's...
And in the morning I'll be calling on the telephone. Yeah, man, it's just a great vibe. It really is.
I love it. You know, it's got a little Steely Dan action going on there. A little, you know, and I said this to Adam right before it finished. It's got that wonderful dead drum sound that I love so much from the 70s. That analog, the bass drum and the snare and the hi-hat feels like it's just... right next to you. Or you're playing it. You know, like I said, I my brother's a drummer. I grew up with drums my whole life. I play the drums. I'm not a drummer. I always say I play the drums. But yeah, there's a sound that the drums have when you're sitting at them or you're right in front of them. And my co-host could tell you a little bit about that, I'm sure. Standing right in front of the drums.
They're fucking loud.
They're fucking loud. But when they're like that and they're in your living room like that, man, that kicks. That song has the keyboard. Everything about that song has got a great takes me right back vibe.
Yeah, I love the band vibe on it. That's why I wanted to play it, because I love the sound of those first two songs. But I love where they're going on in the morning. I think it's like, you know, he's developing a thing with a band that goes with him in a way. Like the other ones, it's much simpler, you know, and it sounds great. But, you know, to get out there and play live, it's kind of cool to hear him go on there with the band and, you know, developing, like, it sounds like a live band playing. It sounds great to me. It's a fantastic sound.
And good call.
I'm excited
on that
for where they're going to go.
Yeah,
too.
That melody is fantastic. It's beautiful. Yeah. So, another great band that you're going to be seeing in just one couple of days. This is it, right?
Yeah, by the time this comes out, it'll be just a couple of days.
Wow.
Let's talk about Amy.
Yes. Shall we?
Were you here when she played that day?
I missed it. Yeah, Amy Vashel
that's
played.
Right, that was your day.
Yeah, it was my day. She not only played, which I did see, thanks to Ehud and the wonderful one-on-ones that you could see on the Underwater Sunshine Festival website. Go there right now. And also, she sang backup on a couple of our friend Matt Suchich's songs. And I mentioned Amy in the piece.
It's hard to say Matt Suchich's songs.
It's hard to say. It is true. Yeah. Especially for a guy who butchers names all day. And it's funny because I mentioned her in the piece I wrote about Matt a couple of weeks ago in the Aquarian about his new record and about how Matt sees her as definitely as a friend and as an inspiration. And a lot of the stuff on her new album, Strawberry Moon, did very much remind me of where Matt goes, recording-wise, guitar playing, melody, lyrically. But I have to say, I've been living with that album now for a couple of days, and I just love it. It's her brand new. Well, when did it come out? Did it come out 2016, 2017, that record, Strawberry Moon? I don't think it's like brand new 2018, but it's her last record.
2018.
It did come out 2018. Yeah. Okay. Just a fantastic record. She does it all on this. I mean, she goes from Billie Holiday blues to really sexy, breathy stuff. She does rock and roll. She does excellent folk phrasing on this record. She's got a little bit of Nora Jones jazz stuff going there. And the songs are there are a wide swath of styles of songs. It's a wonderful record and a great way to get introduced to her. And I honestly, I really cannot wait. We say this about a lot of people. I really cannot wait to see her play live.
Man. Yeah, I mean, she was great that day. She was fantastic. I was so impressed watching her play. And we played a couple of her songs from the Garden Sessions. And we actually played this song from the Garden Sessions. But I love this song so much. And I think it is such a splendid little piece of songwriting. It reminds me of the same things that we love about a lot of Matt's writing. The ability to just, like, for one thing, be a blisteringly great guitar player, acoustic guitar. The music she's written on the acoustic guitar, for this song especially, the accompaniment is so cool and furiously played and with just a real ear for detail in what she's playing in every little pick. But also the melody and the piece of writing in the song, I think, is a timeless kind of song. This is called Kashmir. Should we just play it first? Do you want to say anything?
Yeah. The only thing I would say about it is listen very. I wouldn't call it a lo-fi recording, but it's, again, a very in-your-face living room recording, much like we were just saying about that last Fair Hazel drumming part. It sounds like she's right there playing for it. It's very loose, and you could tell whatever she did there was one sweeping take, and it really gets me into the music immediately.
Yeah, it's very intimate feeling. It feels like it's happening right there in front of you the whole way it's recorded. You're absolutely right about that. This is Amy Vashel from her album last year, Strawberry Moon, Kashmir.
All right, here we go. Scold me for cutting a line. I was impatient, I was impatient, I was impatient. beautiful eyes. I kiss you, don't open your eyes. Ooh. Let my hair grow, dress me in dirt, give me the hills for my tent. Tax me in heartache, squander my health, give me another friend's debt. Take all my pennies, take all I've got, give me the rules I can't bend. Oh, give me the portions for fools or the foxes, I promise I won't pay back. I'll kiss you, don't open your eyes.
That is clearly, we talked about it briefly before we played it, but that reminds me so much of the classic way that they would record folk and blues artists pre the rock and roll era. You know, Robert Johnson or Muddy Waters, and even Dylan on his first record. That looks like it's just one microphone in a room.
Yeah, it's, oh no, I don't think that's.
Because there's a bleed there that is just so natural.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's a little air there, but I don't think it's just one, because it's her vocals right on a mic.
Very clear, yeah. But clearly she's singing and playing at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good. I mean, I love that kind of stuff. And she does play, again, as Adam mentioned, blistering. And, you know, this was a real tough one for me because I love every song on this record, and we really had to pick ones that we thought were outstanding ways of showing you her talents beyond just simply phrasing and singing, which... she is masterful, like on this record. As I mentioned, she pulls in from blues and jazz. Her phrasing and her breathy way of singing certain songs are fantastic. But that is an excellent way of seeing how she can really dominate a song with her acoustic guitar playing. It's wonderful.
And you're gonna love when you see her live because she's fantastic.
Yes, she's got a beautiful, beautiful voice. So the last one we're gonna play, which is the last song on this record, "Stones," gives you an example of some of the bluesy phrasing that she does so well on this record, along with others. I mean, she's just a great vocalist, and she leaves, no pun intended, no stone unturned on this record. She goes for different things. I'm sorry, that was terrible. But she does. She doesn't. She showed me so many sides of what she could do with that voice of hers.
Yeah, and it is. She's really, really talented. I mean, I've never really seen The Voice. Have you? I mean, I've had a couple friends who were on it at one point.
She was on The Voice.
Yeah, she was.
We mentioned that a couple of weeks. And then she did that great cover of Cigarette Machine, right?
Yes, that's brilliant.
Oh, God, it's so good. Yeah. So let's play Stones, shall we?
Yeah, this is great. You're going to love this song. You're going to love Amy Vachel, really.
She's great.
Certain words arranged together held up like gold and laced with silver, a thousand pages into the fire. I wonder what wouldn't go away. Could I stretch them like stones? out of the ember. Circle a diamond, cut for your finger. That pockets me poor, shined by my brother, hidden from crooks, pawning for coins.
That's such a beautiful song.
Yep.
It's so beautiful. I'm sorry for the interruption at the end. My dad called right at the end, and I, you know.
No, that's the phone, but, you know. Quite all right. The doctor is always welcome. You know, it's funny. The album, it's a great way to end the record because it's just her, you know, doing what she does. And what she did at the Underwater Sunshine Festival, specifically the Garden Sessions, because she didn't play the festival proper, right? She's going to
She played Garden Sessions. She'll play the festival proper this time.
Yeah. So, but again, that album's got so many different styles on there and so many different sides of her. So please check it out. Strawberry Moon by Amy Vachel. And if you really want to see her, you got to come see her.
Yeah. Amy Vachel, that's really something. She's severely talented. So we're going to move on to a good friend of yours right now.
Yes.
Who you have been nice enough to get to play the festival for us.
Yes, great guy, wonderful performer, one of my favorite pop songwriters of the last 10, 15 years, Eric Hutchinson. We played some of his songs from the new record, his last new record. This is his brand spanking new one.
So that's really his old record then.
It is. It's an old record then.
This record, I don't know about an old record, but it's his old record.
It's his old record. It's not that old, maybe a year. He's come out with two in a row. The last one, Modern Happiness, he played with his band, The Believers, and this one he played with a bunch of jazz cats, and he calls it Before and Afterlife. It's an interesting story, and I'm sure he'll be taught. He's a great storyteller on stage as well. He recorded a bunch of songs after his wife Jill was pregnant with his baby girl Zelda, who I got to meet, and his mother-in-law passed, like right around the same time. And he really was filled with inspiration to write about life and death. And that passing of the torch of the generations, and he does it with the kind of humor that I love about Eric, which I love about Warren Zevon and Randy Newman and many of the artists that we talk about a lot on this podcast. And the first couple of songs he's releasing one a month as he did the last record. He recorded with a bunch of jazz cats, and I got to meet them. I got to go in the studio and watch them play, which was a real treat for me. I don't get a chance to do that much. And the first couple of songs are really upbeat, and this is the first one. I really love this song. The title of it, I believe, all the way through, and you have it in front of you.
But I hope she's just like you.
I hope she's just like you, which is a song to his unborn daughter at the time, talking about his wife, or to his wife about his daughter, and hope that she has all the aspects that he loves about his wife, which I thought was a great way to frame the song. And I really love the song, too. It's got a lot of these songs are pop-oriented because that's where he always goes. He's very influenced by pop music of the 60s and 70s, but it's got, with the addition of these jazz musicians, they brought a jazz feel to it. And he didn't immerse himself completely into it the way Sting has done or other artists who have gone playing with jazz cats. But it was an interesting thing. And anyway, so this is the song, the third song off of and the third release off of Life, Before and After Life. I want to get that right.
And he's doing this by releasing a song every month? That's how he's putting out the record?
Yes. Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
So this is Eric Hutchinson.
I hope she has your eyes. I hope she has your smile. I hope she has your replies. I hope she has a style. I hope she's happy quite naturally. I hope she's wild and free. I hope she's just like you. I hope she's shining your light. I hope she's under your skin. I hope she puts up your fights. I hope she gives you your spin. I hope she's candid and so unrehearsed. I hope she dives in head first. I hope she's just like you. And I hope she knows.
Shout out to Hila Kulik from Israel, who plays piano on that song. Drummers Charles Gould, Barry Stevenson on bass, and wonderful sax solo by Patrick Bartley on that song, as well as his buddy on the horns there, Wayne Tucker. So a shout out to all those guys. Great studio cats. They play with a ton of jazz combos around the city. And so check it out. Please support all arts. But yes, as you mentioned while I was playing there, that it doesn't really get jazzy till the end there. The band kind of takes off, and he said that he allowed everybody to kind of put their stamp on it, which I guess you want to do when you invite people who play in a different style than you're normally
used to. Well, it's not necessarily,
you want
to hear, a lot of times that will be subtle, the differences in the playing, and not in a lot of ways you'd notice. Like, it's different from some of the other stuff I've heard by him.
Right.
But it's not until the end when everyone's sort of going off.
Yes.
It doesn't sound out there, but there are subtle differences throughout about the way everyone's playing. It's
right.
Cool.
And the other thing he did differently on the record, and which he does more when he plays by himself, and that is to let the songs just kind of breathe, because he tends to be, to his own admission, a control freak in the studio. He meticulously pieces together the songs, and he says sometimes it will take the life out of the songs, and he tries to breathe new life in them with his vocals and different things. But as far as the backing tracks, he's very meticulous. But in this one, he did full straight passes. So if there's a little, you know, tweak to his voice or something like that, he didn't go back and fix it, and he wanted the band to be all in on that. So he set that off as an edict, and he didn't break his own rule, because he said it many times he wanted to dive in and do a retake of something, but he didn't. He let it be the way it was. So it's kind of neat. Yeah, well, listen, he's one of my favorite performers. I hope everybody digs him. He'll be closing out one of the nights. Saturday night. That's right. Cindy is going to be doing Friday night. It's going to be a great show, people, so you want to be here. The 5th and 6th, couple of days away, mere days. People are probably on airplanes right now, on some sort of caravan, traveling east.
It's a long walk, so they've already started.
They already started. They started jogging like Forrest Gump across the country. Don't stop. Imagine that. I'm picturing it now. Hundreds of people jogging their way to the Bowery Electric.
And
across the desert.
Well, it won't be winter anymore. So we're going to talk about one more, another band that you just saw them, and I couldn't go that night, but you just saw them a few weeks ago, or at this point, like a month or so ago.
Yes.
Time is so fluid on the Underwater Sunshine
it
podcast.
It sure is. And I loved your Instagram post announcing them, Wild Pink. Those Friday announcements are now getting to be legendary. But I was going to say that thank you guys so much for allowing me to write about them, because it made me go back. And they only have two records. They have new music out, but they have Yoke in the Fur, which we played some of their songs a few months ago, and I totally fell in love with the record. So Adam's, you know, hey, listen, go ahead and write about it. And I got a chance to spend some time with John Ross, who does all the songwriting for them, and I found out his background in writing for TV shows and background in scores, and how he just loves dreamy, ethereal music, and he brings it into these song structures. But he's also influenced by country singers and songwriters like Hank Williams and Willie Nelson, and how he loved Tom Petty growing up, and how Petty would present a song in the simplest way that seems simple, but it ain't that simple. And he brings all of that to this record, and this band was so good live because they're a five-piece now. And it sounds so amazing. I mean, they're gonna blow the roof off the Bowery Electric, I think.
And they are spectacular. They have two full albums: the Wild Pink from a few years ago, and right. Yoke in the Fur from last year. And then they did just put an EP out called Five Songs, which is I think three remixes and two new songs. I think they're brilliant, complex, challenging, fascinating music. You know, they're really good. And you wanted to, we played a bunch of them, but you wanted to go back and play something else. And I really loved this too, from Yoke in the Fur.
Yeah, I mean, this is a two. Now, the one thing that's so great about this record is it's from everything from Burger Hill, which we played a couple of months ago, right through Lake Erie, then Yoke in the Fur, which we played, which is that kind of four part, you know, epic. Then they go into this song, Civility at Gunpoint, flowing into Jules Drost in the Runoff. And it's the Civility part is just this little acoustic interlude, beautiful. I love the melody of it. And then it flows into this song, which is one of my favorite songs on the record. And that's saying something, because I love this album. And anyway, they played it live, and it was great.
They're a great young band, and we are so lucky to have been able to get them to play for us. I'm so excited they're playing Underwater Sunshine.
And no more cool, unassuming, nice guys. I went down with my brother-in-law, and he's from the Lake Erie area, and the drummer was wearing a Buffalo Bills shirt. The two of them started talking right away, and then John is actually marrying a girl from up where my wife is from, in Syracuse area. Oh. So there are a lot of the central New York flavor, even though he's traveled quite a bit. I think they're kind of based now in Brooklyn.
Yeah, definitely are. So let's play this. This is Civility at Gunpoint into Jules Drost in the Runoff from the album Yoke in the Fur last year. This is Wild Pink.
fall asleep, sing it advice all night. Dreams in the south under canopy tops, dripping with Spanish moss.
I love the way that goes into the acoustic, from the acoustic thing. We both are like, wow, it sounds so great in here. But I've been listening to that so long. Just when it comes out of that acoustic thing and sweeps in with the band, so cool.
They're so good. They're so good.
I love his voice, too.
Yeah, I do, too. And the writing. The whole thing with that band is such a – they're not just throwing it together. They're really composing and writing. And that record – I can't recommend it highly enough, that record, Yoke and the Fur – It's just so good, you know. And I mean, I read some blogs that suggested that's the best record anyone made last year. I thought it was brilliant myself, really.
One of my favorite. And I heard that you introduced that to me, and I mentioned in the piece I wrote, you were like, I've been listening to this, and I don't know what to make of it. I remember that line, and when I first heard it, I was like, wow. I mean, you loved it, but we were trying to figure out, I wanted to figure out what they were really about, where they were going for. And then eventually I wrote in the piece, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Just you guys go, you know?
Yeah, it's very unique. It's great music. Challenging, exciting, passionate. It's great music. They really knocked me out. I cannot wait to see them.
Yeah, great live band. Yep.
So these are... At this point, we've now introduced to you every band that is playing Underwater Sunshine Fest, and because we just announced one of them today for the first time, we want to come back and just play a little bit more by her, because I've been friends with Cyndi Lauper for, 25, I don't know how long, it's been a long time now, and she's so brilliant, not only a lifetime of writing, just great songs, great performances, great singing, she... composed the music, the songs for the play Kinky Boots, which has been a massive hit all over the world for her. So she's a Broadway composer and an extremely successful Broadway composer now as well. And she did a record a few years ago with a bunch of country and jazz musicians and blues musicians called Detour. And she did this kind of a really cool cover of a Wanda Jackson song, Funnel of Love, which I always love that song. I want to play that for you, and then we're going to close with just, well, one of the truly great songs ever.
Yeah, period. Yeah.
But this is Cyndi Lauper just from, I guess last year maybe. It's a couple of years ago. It's like 2016. From the album Detour, this is Cyndi Lauper playing Funnel of Love, the old Wanda Jackson song.
My head is a spinning around and around. I go deeper in the funnel of love. It's such a crazy, crazy feeling. I peek in the knees. My poor old head is reeling around. I go deep into the funnel of love. To get you someday.
It's bound to get you someday.
Hey, it's such a crazy, crazy feeling. Weak in the knees. My poor old head is reeling as I go deep into the funnel of love. To get you someday.
It's bound to get you someday.
Here I go, going down, down, down. My mind is a blank. My head is a spinning around and around as I go deep into the funnel of love.
That's cool. I like that. That's a, you know, a Wanda Jackson song from, I don't know, what, 1950-something? No, maybe 60s. It's either late 50s or early 60s.
Yeah.
The original version of that. That is from just 2 years ago on the album Detour.
The record is quite interesting. Adam just introduced me to it. She does a duet with Willie Nelson on here. The great Emmylou Harris. Not that Willie isn't great. But Emmylou Harris is the queen of background and duet singing. Especially in the country vein. And it's a, you know, I know a lot of artists now do the singing the standard stuff, but she really went for it. You know, Cyndi went in and dove in and played some songs that are well known and some that weren't. And when we were playing snippets of it, what to play, it was quite interesting. So I want to dive into it myself. Okay, so we're going to end this podcast, I believe, with one of my all-time. Now, this is, I said to you before when we were talking about playing songs by Cyndi, that this song easily now has become, for me, sort of a standard, the way Someone to Watch Over Me or Somewhere Over the Rainbow or something that Sinatra, like Summer or Summertime, or to me, it's from the rock and roll era. It has stood the test of time, but it also, no pun intended, it goes beyond that. I think it's just one of the great songs ever written.
Yeah, ever. I think it's probably her best ballad. This or True Colors, although All Through the Night is so amazing too. But yeah, I love this song. It was the second single off of the album She's So Unusual, and her first number one.
Of course, we're talking about Time After Time.
And
I told Adam I have an interesting story. I saw the first time I heard this song. Now, it might have already come out on the record, but I don't think it did. But first time I heard this song was by the gentleman who co-wrote it with her.
Rob Hyman.
Right, from the Hooters. I saw the Hooters play at Playland. Everybody remember Playland in Pennsylvania, just outside of Philly? The Hooters, of course, a Philly band. Interesting enough, Robert Hazard, who wrote Girls Just Want to Have Fun, also from Philly. And I saw both Robert Hazard and the Hooters play. Robert Hazard in Philly, but the Hooters at Playland in Pennsylvania. And they played this song. And they made no mention of Cynthia Lauper. They just played it. And I thought, what a fucking great song this is. And then sure enough, on my radio, maybe months later, maybe a year later, maybe a week later, I heard her sing it with him and was just equally blown away, because she just emotes this song so beautifully. The lyrics are fantastic. My wife and I sing this song all the time together. We play it on a Friday night, have a few beers, and inevitably always tumbles into us singing Time After Time on the acoustic. And it's just one of those songs, man. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful song. Are we going to go out on this and say goodbye now?
Why not?
Okay, I it's a great song to go on. I truly love this song, and I think it's a beautiful piece of writing that there's like, it's got the verse, it's got a B section that's good, and then it's got that extraordinary chorus. Just makes you want to go around and round and around on it forever. But
let's play it,
and we'll go on. I'm so excited she's playing, and I'm so honored to have her coming and playing our show. From 1982's or 83's.
Right.
She's So Unusual.
Wow.
This is the great Cyndi Lauper, Time After Time. We're the Underwater Sunshine Podcast. I'm Adam. He's James. We got to go.
You got that right. We'll see you at the show. So till then, peace.
Late.
If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. second hand unwind.
If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time, if you fall, I will catch you, I'll be waiting.